Our attention is perennially focused on Eretz Yisrael, and it was certainly the case today. I'm hoping that we can talk a little bit, not about specific events or individuals, but about issues. And the reason for framing the conversation that way is that A, that's always preferable. B, my knowledge of specific events and what individuals have or have not done or have not said is at best fragmentary and incomplete. And were I to speak about events and individuals, it's entirely possible, even likely, that Rachmana Litzlan, I would mischaracterize or misrepresent or misinterpret. Even if my knowledge of news reports was comprehensive, news reports also can be unintentionally or intentionally incomplete and lacking context. So I certainly won't be comprehensive in touching on all relevant issues, again, because of my fragmentary knowledge and incomplete grasp. And Yitachein will mention some issues that are not germane, so no inferences should be drawn. And the final word of introduction is that it's some of the issues that we'll talk about, it's obviously much easier to dispassionately see and recognize from this side of the Atlantic than if one is living in the midst of everything that's going on. Is there a categorical, absolute patur from serving in the army for B'nai Yeshiva? So the source that is bandied about is the concluding halacha in Hilchos Shmita v'Yovel, where the Rambam writes, "V'lo shevet Levi bilvad, el kol ish v'ish min kol boy ha'olam asher nod v'rucho oso, v'hevino mado'o lihibode alamo lefnei Hashem l'shorso u'lo'ovdo, l'deos Hashem." V'holach Yosha Kamosha Osohu Alokim, Ufarak me al Tzavaro Ol Hachishvono Sarab and Asher Bikshu B'nei Odom, Harezin Iskadish Kodesh Kodoshim, V'yashem Chalko V'nachaloso L'olam L'olam L'olamim, V'yizake Lo B'olam Hazer Dova Hamaspik Lo Kamosha Zika L'akonim L'alvim. So the Rambam seems to extend membership and to Shevet Levi, even for those who are not by lineage descended from Shevet Levi. And earlier, the Rambam writes, that in the previous halacha, that Shevet Levi lo orchin milchama kishor Yisrael. But when one reflects on the Rambam, Kimaduma, that it's clear that that's not what it says here, or that's not the application that the Rambam gives and intends. According to that reading of the Rambam, so the Rambam here is reflecting Reb Shimon bar Yochai in the famous Machlokas in the beginning of the sixth parak in Brachos between Rabbi Yishmael, Rabbi Akiva, and Reb Shimon bar Yochai. That Rabbi Yishmael says, Hanek Bahen Minag Derech Eretz, and Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai says, Efsha Adam Choyish Vishas Chavisha, Zorei Vishas Zriya, etc. So ostensibly, the Rambam here in Shemitah V'Yovel is reflecting the view of Reb Shimon bar Yochai. Whereas in Hilchos Talmud Torah, the Rambam unequivocally reflects the view of Reb Yishmael. But that's would be very incongruous and very difficult to understand if halacha lemaisa the Rambam thinks that a person is given the two options of whether to identify himself as a Rabbi Shmuel Yid or as a Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai Yid. Then he should have told us that, not his Talmud Torah. And when he writes in Hilchos Talmud Torah, that Maila Gedola Lemishu Misparnis Mimasi Yadav Umidas Chasidim Sarishonim he should have indicated that there's an exception, that there is an alternate track. And he doesn't. So we have to wait until we get all the way to the end of Hilchos Shemitah V'Yovel to find out that there's a second option, there's an alternate track. So it seems clear that the pshat in the Rambam is that the Rambam, kayadua, that where the Rambam in Mishnah Torah engages in Divrei Haggadah, he does so at the end of Halachas, at the end of Hilchos Megvaros, at the end of Hilchos Me'ilah, at the end of Hilchos Tmur, at the end of Hilchos Yisurim Mizbeach. He does it at the end. That's where the Rambam allows himself to share Divrei Haggadah u'machshava. Rambam is describing here not something which is bedinei adam, a choice that a person makes, but something, it's a hanhoga of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that HaKadosh Baruch Hu confers upon the person. Which is why the only nafgamina that the Rambam mentions, orchen milchome, is a din bedinei adam. So the Rambam doesn't repeat that. What the Rambam repeats here is that kol ish ve'ish min kol boya olam shenod ve'bucha oso ve'evinu ma'da'o. So what happens? Yi Hashem chalko v'nachaloso v'yezake lo b'olam hazeh adova ha'maspik lo. And when the Rambam says lo shevet levi bilvad, the most immediate antecedent was that hu baruch hu ziko lahem. Shanem ani chalkacha v'nachalasecha. Nachalascha, excuse me. So what the Rambam is saying in Hilchos Shemitah V'Yovel is not a din and dinei odom that affects mitzvahs and chiyuvim b'dinei odom. He's talking about a hashkacha of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees that a person is nod v'rucho also lamo d'fnei Hashem l'shor so l'ovdo. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu will orchestrate that person is able to devote himself 100%. Someone will give him a birthday card. Inside the birthday card is the lottery ticket. He'll win the lottery. How is it going to happen? I don't know. But Rambam knows how to knows how to orchestrate. He's not talking about Bedinei Adam. Not talking about Bedinei Adam. The Tzitz Eliezer has a very, very important insight. He says, if you look at the Rambam in Hilchos Shabbos, Perek Beis, Halacha Chav Gimel, based on a sugi in Erevin. So the Rambam is writing about Goyim Shetzoru al Ayoros Yisrael. When Goyim lay siege and there's a mortal threat to Jews. I'm skipping a few lines within the halacha. Mitzvah al kol Yisrael sheyecholin lava lotzeis velazor la'acheihem shebamotzor u'lahatzila miyad hagoyim b'shabbos. So the Lashon Rambam is mitzvah al kol Yisrael. Says the Tzitz Eliezer, what the Rambam means is that the p'tur of Shevet Levi is only when the only mechayev is milchama, en an ochen milchama. But when it's mitzad hatzolas harabim, kiruach nefesh of the rabbin, so that p'tur, even the p'tur of actual Shevet Levi, that doesn't apply. So there is no categorical p'tur for B'nai Yeshiva. If there's a surplus of manpower, how do you decide who? It's a different conversation. But there's certainly no categorical p'tur. You know, when Chazal tell us that Torah is Megan, that's a profound metaphysical truth. It's not a halachic dispensation. It's not said in that context. It's not applied in that context. It's a profound metaphysical truth and reality, but it's not a halachic dispensation. It obviously goes without saying that someone who rejects the position of a categorical p'tur is not questioning the supreme value of Talmud Torah, not questioning the value of Talmud Torah. When the Gemara in Sanhedrin castigates someone who Rachman al Islan says Maya Hanulan Rabbanon, it means that he says, I understand the value of studying engineering, you'll build a bridge, but what's the value of learning? What does it do? What does it do? Someone who thinks correctly, but even if it were incorrect, it would be equally true. Alachas kama v'kama, if he thinks so correctly, that there's no categorical p'tur, that sometimes Talmud Torah, despite the fact that it's megen, yields to other chiyuvim. So that's a Yerushalmi in other contexts also. The Yerushalmi says, v'pshim v'yachay v'chaverov, have to interrupt their learning to go sit in the sukkah and to eat in the sukkah, and they have to interrupt their learning to shake a lulav. That's not questioning or Rachman al Itzlan devaluing the value of Talmud Torah. The fact of Talmud Torah keneged kulam doesn't disenfranchise the other 612 mitzvahs. That's obviously not how the halachic system was designed by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But it's crucial to recognize that there are two different and conceptually separate discussions, although they obviously have bearing on a similar situation. One is there a categorical p'tur? The other is, is there an anti-religious culture that exists in the army that needs to be addressed in order to allow one to fulfill the mitzvah of serving in the army? There's a fundamental difference between those two factors. Fundamental difference between saying that there's a categorical refusal as opposed to a conditional refusal. The first one preempts any attempt to find a common ground. The second one allows to look for and hopefully find common ground. For Klal Yisrael to avoid catastrophic self-destructive behavior, so we need to know and we need to learn how to disagree, how to argue. The same way, no two people look exactly alike, no two people think exactly alike. In the same way, some people not only don't look exactly alike, but they look very different. So too, not only do some people not think exactly alike, but some people think very differently. So disagreement is inevitable. Argument is inevitable. So we need to know how to disagree, and we need to know how to argue. The Rambam writes in Perek Vav, Vechelchus Deis, Halacha Gimel, Mitzvah kol odem levs kol echad v'echad miYisrael kagufa. Kol echad v'echad miYisrael. Two halachas later, halacha hey, kol hasone echad miYisrael b'libo ove b'lo sasei. Shenema lo sisna sachicha b'lvavacha. My son commented that later, at the end of Hilchos Hotzeach Shmiras Nefesh, the Rambam quotes the Gemara in Pesachim, where he writes, Hasone, the concluding halacha in Hotzeach Shmiras Nefesh, Hasone shenema batoru hu mi Yisrael, lo me umas ha'olam, ki sirach hamor sonacha, roveitz tachas masal. The Torah speaks of, you see the donkey of your enemy, of someone whom you hate. The Hechi Yel Yisrael Sonem Yisrael, the Hakos of Omel Assistant Sachicha Bilbavetha, Omel Chachamim Kagon Shero Ohu Levado Shava Avera, the Hisra Bovalo Chazar, Hareza Mitzvah the Sono Achiyasa Chuva Vyachso Merisha. So why didn't the Rambam tell us in those days that there's an exception? In other words, there is that the Rambam doesn't intimate that there's any exception. Adrabbi, he formulates it in a way that makes clear that there's, there don't seem to be any exceptions. Mitzvah lev kol echad ve'echad miYisrael. Kol hasone echad miYisrael belibo. So the Rambam should have said, chutz. There is an exception, which the Gemara Pesachim recognizes in the Pasuk, and the Rambam is going to codify it later in Hechos Ratzayim. So why doesn't he mention it here? It's a very important element. So apparently, what the Rambam tells us in Hechos Ratzayim Shmiras Nefesh is not an exception to what he says in Hechos Dayas. It's not an exception, but they coexist. And that's why, no, there is no exception to what he's saying here in Hilchos Deis. What's the mashal? I don't know. Imagine, Rachmana Litzlan, you have a close relative, someone has a close relative, a child, a sibling, who has an addiction. I don't know. Alcohol, drugs, whatever Rachmana Litzlan it is. So you hate the addiction. You hate it. Maybe you even hate the person for being an addict. But you don't hate him or her in an unqualified sense. Not if it's your brother, not if it's your child. You can hate an opinion. You can have a parent and a child. You can have two siblings. One's a Fabrenta MAGA, and one's a Fabrenta, what's the opposite, locust? I don't know whatever the correct political term should be. So you can hate your brother, your sister's political views, and probably do. Probably do, and you can still love him, and still not hate him. The love of Kol Hason Echad MiYisrael is in an unqualified sense. I hate him. I hate her. What the Rambam tells him in Sefer Shmiras Nefesh, the Torah doesn't say mitzvah in an unqualified sense. It's a paradigm for how to disagree. And how to argue. It doesn't involve any weakening of principle. Proof positive that we don't have the right balance. Proof positive that the halacha of Hilchos Rotzeach Shmiras Nefesh becomes an exception, which it's not, to Hilchos Deis, is whenever we see the world, we see the Jewish world as an us versus them. If that's how we see the world, so then that means that we haven't correctly integrated Hilchos Ratzayach Shmiras Nefesh of Mitzvah L'Sono with Hilchos Deis of Kol Hason Echad MiYisrael and Mitzvah Lev of Kol Echad VeEchad MiYisrael. I mean, very broadly speaking, unless someone is Mamash Moser or maybe a first generation Min, maybe under certain historical conditions, which is motzi atzmo min haklal. So it's never ever supposed to be us versus them when there's again, not because the argument is elu ve'elu. No, in arguments which one is convinced are not elu ve'elu. In arguments where one is convinced that the other position is totally wrong and has no basis and has no justification, the Rambam in Ritzeth is not talking about an elu ve'elu. Some hold you kosher, some hold you chaser. No, that's not it. There's no elu ve'elu in that question. And that's what he's talking about in Hichos Ritzeth. And it's not an exception to what he says. What was that? Another guideline that we absolutely must adhere to in disagreeing, in arguing, is to avoid false and at times utterly reprehensible moral equivalences. No Jew should ever, ever, and in most cases, Lahavdil, the same thing is true in terms of non-Jews, should be ever compared to a Nazi. Such a comparison is a double travesty. It defames the Jew and it cheapens the Holocaust. It cheapens the unspeakable atrocities and barbarism and cruelty of the Nazis. It's an utterly reprehensible comparison. Nothing, again, speaking about reprehensible moral equivalences, nothing should be equated with being held hostage by Hamas barbarians either. One can think, and one can think correctly, that something is wrong, but that doesn't make it comparable to a hostage situation being held by those sadistic, evil Hamasniks. It's the same double travesty. You know, there is a famous story of the Beis Halevi. You all know it. That a woman comes to the Beis Halevi before Pesach, and she has a shayla. Can she use milk for delicacies? So the Beis Halevi asks one of the, I don't know if it was a Talmud, I don't know who it was, there was a few people around to bring him a Shulchan Aruch. He opens Shulchan Aruch and he thinks and deliberates for a while and then tells her, no, I don't think so. And then he hands her a sizable sum of money and wishes her a Chaykosha Vesamech. So after she leaves, I ask the Beis Halevi, like, what was that all about? A woman comes, she asks you a foolish shayla, and you deliberate over it like it was a shot of an argument. And then you hand her, a wad of bills. What was that all about? So the Beis Halevi says, if you don't take a shayla seriously, people won't come back a second time and ask. You have to always, a person should feel validated in coming to a rav to ask a shayla. What was the money about? He says, this woman obviously didn't know that you can't fulfill Dalit Kosos with milk. She obviously didn't know that. But she does know that you don't drink milk after eating fleishigs. So if she had a hava mina to use milk for dalam pesach, it means that she's so poor that there's not going to be any meat at the seder. She doesn't have enough money for basic expenses. But what the story illustrates, again, usually it's, I think, told to illustrate that the Beis Halevi is genius. Okay, I'm certainly not contesting that. But that doesn't do too much for us. You know, you can't emulate, you know, whatever, you know. He has the gift, we don't, so what are we supposed to do with that, you know? But what it illustrates, more importantly than his genius, is that whereas those around him heard, saw, and experienced this exchange from their vantage point, the Beis HaLevi understood it and experienced it from the woman's vantage point as well. So Enochanami, to be on the receiving end of that question, it was just a silly, ignorant question. That's all it was. I answered it and, you know, go like it. And the gadlus of the Beis HaLevi was that sensitivity and that ability that he had cultivated to see the world from someone else's vantage point. Even amidst profound disagreement, and again, a disagreement, not an Eilu-Eilu disagreement, an agreement where each side thinks the other one is absolutely wrong. Not Eilu-Eilu, I have my opinion, you have your opinion. No, I think you're wrong, you think I'm wrong. Even amidst profound disagreement, mutual understanding is possible, but it requires a concerted effort to see things from the vantage point of someone else. And when one does that successfully, you know, mitzvah gerer is mitzvah. When one does that successfully, so one can then become aware that, you know, even if my position is fundamentally correct, maybe there are things I'm doing which I now understand how they are viewed, how they register, how they impact the other one. In a way that's wrong. In a way that's counterproductive. Calls upon that we're within our own bubble, within our own echo chamber. We won't recognize. A person can be fundamentally correct and still be making lots of mistakes. And many of those mistakes will become apparent if we can see the world from someone else's vantage point. One or two last orders. Regardless of one's position on a ben yeshiva serving in the army, even if you think that everything I said at the outset is wrong, one has to have the utmost respect, appreciation, and hakaras hatov for the self-sacrifice of those who do. The Ramban writes in the beginning of Parshas Vayishlach, why does the Torah recount the encounter between Yaakov and Esav and Yaakov's extensive preparations. Nichtiva parsha azos lehodia ki hitzal HaKadosh Baruch Hu s'avdu u'ga'olam yad chazak mimenu. So who does the Hatzalah come from? HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hitzal HaKadosh Baruch Hu s'avdu u'ga'olam yad chazak mimenu. Vayishlach malach vayatzi lehu. And then, toch kedei dibor, literally, toch kedei dibor, Ramban continues, u'lamdeinu od shahu, Yaakov Avinu, lo botach b'tzidkaso, he didn't rely on his own righteousness that things could play out on a supernatural level. And therefore, v'hishtadel v'hatzolah b'chol yecholto. He exerted himself, v'hishtadel, in rabbinic Hebrew, that doesn't just mean to try, it means to exert oneself. V'hishtadel b'chol b'hatzol b'chol yecholta. V'yesh ba'od remez l'doros. And there's a din l'doros that the Torah is modeling for us here. Ki kol asher ira l'avinu im esav ochiv ye'or lanu tominim b'nai esav. V'rovi lanu lechos b'darko shal tzadik. We have to prepare ourselves the shloshes advarim shehisben hu es atzmo, the tefila, the doron, diplomacy, political activism, ulahatzara b'derech mochama. Similarly, the Ramban has in Parsha Shoftim. When the Torah says, on the one hand, kiseitz al mulcham al oyevecha, v'ris asus v'rechav am rav mimcha losima mehem. There's no reason that you should fear an enemy who's more powerful. Ki Hashem alokecha imach hamalcha meretz Mitzrayim. And the Mashum Chachoma comes and he gives chizuk and his mezares, and then how does the after all the zeros, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is with you. Don't worry about anything. Al yerech levavchem. And then how does the Torah conclude? Ufaktu soritzvos b'rosh ha'am. You appoint commanding officers to lead your army into battle. Says the Ramban, ki ha'Torah tetzaveh b'derech ha'oretz, halacha functions on the natural plane. A belief in providence, in Hashgacha, doesn't in Halacha translate into passivity, into quietism. Ki HaTorah tetzave b'derech ha'oretz v'tasa ha'nisim in yireo v'haster v'ein ha'chefetz l'fona l'shanos tivo shel olam. Kadosh Baruch Hu does not like to perform nisim gluyim, which are exceptions to the functioning of nature, because nature is itself Ritzon Hashem. So therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu stipulates, yeah, I'll do the miracle for you. It will be providential. The Hatzol is going to be Ki Hitzal HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Avdo, but it's only going to happen when you act on the natural plane and do everything that's required on the natural plane. There has to be a tzahal. Halacha mandates that there be a tzahal. Those who serve in tzahal as we had so many reminders of these past 2 years, risk life and limb. An incomparable Mesiras Nefesh, literal Mesiras Nefesh. And that needs to be recognized. It needs to be recognized. It needs to be appreciated. It needs to be esteemed. There needs to be a Hakar Satov. There needs to be a profound sense of gratitude and indebtedness, regardless of what one's opinion is on a halachic issue of b'nei yeshiva serving. But there is a story about Reb Sal Salanter, that when Darwin's Origin of Species was what was first published. So there was an Asifa of Gdol Yisrael. And Rabshal Salanter said, you know, whatever you do, don't put out a chayim on the book. So you put out a chayim on the book, everyone's going to come out and read the book. So whatever you do, however the best way, the effective way is to counter this threat to Emunah. That tactic will boomerang. You know, even if one thinks that it's wrong, absolutely wrong, unequivocally wrong, that B'nai Yeshiva don't serve in the army. And even if one thinks, either because, unfortunately, one has not yet been zocha to the light of Torah, so one thinks about things in a secular vein, that certain reactions, responses are legitimate, it doesn't matter whether it's legitimate. It matters. The operative question, I mean, what was it legitimate to put a chayim on the book? Yeah, it was certainly legitimate to put a chayim on the book. But Rabbi Salanter was saying, the operative question is, you're looking to accomplish something. The operative question is it productive? So when thinking how one responds, the question is not, you know, can I justify my responding in such and such a way? The operative question is, will this response be productive? It's very, very hard to imagine. I think it's impossible to imagine that the impasse over B'nai Yeshiva serving in the army is going to be solved through arrests. It doesn't matter which side of the issue one's on. The question is that going to, practically, realistically, is that going to, and therefore it doesn't make a difference. You don't have to be, you don't even have to be done on whether it's legitimate or not legitimate. I'm not even implying anything on that question. I'm not implying that it's legitimate. It's counterproductive. The operative question is not, you know, do I legitimately have a right to do this? The operative question is, am I going to accomplish, am I going to advance goals, l'shem shamayim, in doing this? Maybe the final perspective, and again, I'm sure there are many other things, some of which I'm aware of, many of which I'm probably not aware of, that deserve to be discussed that I didn't discuss. Maybe some things are really irrelevant. You know, later in the first paragraph of Ksubis, we'll have the sugya. Of when, if a person's yichus is challenged, when his keeping silent is a shtika kahodah, and when it isn't. It's not a shayla. When is, in halacha, when do you say circumstantially that a person keeping quiet means that it indicates agreement, acquiescence, and when do you say no? You just kept quiet. If Reuven calls Shimon a mamzer, and Shimon doesn't yell back at him, Does that mean anything? What does that mean? Okay, so that's a narrow context there. But the question is a question that comes up in many other contexts as well. You know, when there are disagreements and arguments and profound disagreements and heated arguments and over existential issues, so, you know, there are actions and reactions and reactions and reactions, etc. One can't protest against a reaction, even if the reaction is wrong and disproportionate, if one doesn't first protest against the provocation, if there was one, which was also wrong. The moshel is, you have two little children, and when one child grabs the toy that the other child is taking, so the other child then hits the other kid over the head. So if the teacher, if the parent doesn't react to the provocation, so the teacher or parent cannot just react to the inappropriate, disproportionate, unacceptable reaction to the provocation. It is disproportionate, it is unacceptable. But if one reacts to the reaction and is silent about the provocation, so then that clearly indicates a shtika kahoda'ah, intended or unintended, a shtika kahoda'ah on the provocation. So selective macha'ah can imply distortions. You can't discipline the kid who hits without the kid first understanding that you recognize the provocation and that you're mocha on the provocation and that you're telling child number two that afal pi chein, your reaction to the provocation is unacceptable and disproportionate.